that I love it every year, and we look forward to it. As I like to say every year, I'm going to say it again, what this church does by having different clergy every Sunday is a ministry to the ministers. And that is a great blessing. So thank you for that. And I hope that if any of you find your way up to Washington, D.C., that you'll come by the National Cathedral and allow Melissa and I to return some of your wonderful hospitality. We would much enjoy doing it. Many, many years ago now, 36 years ago, during my first year at in seminary at Yale Divinity School, I remember sitting in my first semester of New Testament with Dr. Abraham Malherbe, who was at the time one of the greatest New Testament scholars of the 20th century. Dr. Malherbe said to all of us sitting in this large auditorium space, he said, "I want you to take out a piece of paper, and I want you to write down on it the one thing you think that was most important about Jesus' ministry." He said, "The one thing that Jesus talked about more than anything else. The one thing that for him was absolutely critical." We all got out our pads and our pens and we wrote down what we thought. Here we were, brand new students at seminary, but we thought we were pretty smart. So we wrote down love, peace, reconciliation, hope, justice, joy, resurrection, name. Dr. Malherbe called out on a number of us out in the classroom and asked us what we'd written, and each time he'd say, "No, no, no." Finally said, "Nope, you're all wrong. None of those things was the thing that Jesus spoke about more than anything else." He said the essence of Jesus' ministry, the one thing he talked about over and over and over again, was the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. They're interchangeable. Now, I must admit, at the time, I was quite surprised. Malherbe went on to explain that if you look at everything Jesus said in the Gospels, he talks about the kingdom of heaven more often and in more different ways than any other single subject. He told people the kingdom was coming. He described over and over what the kingdom was like. God's kingdom and its arrival was, for Jesus, actually absolutely pivotal to his ministry. So what is the kingdom? What is he talking about this morning? Well, the first thing to say is that Jesus isn't talking about a kingdom in heaven. He isn't talking about where we go when we die or what God's doing when we get there. Rather, he's talking about the coming of God's kingdom down here. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," as we say every Sunday and hopefully every day of our lives in the Lord's Prayer. Now, we don't talk much about kings or kingdoms in the United States, except with our absolute fascination with the British royal family and the coronation of King Charles. But in Jesus' day, kings and kingdoms were everywhere. If you remember King Herod, that we hear so much about in the New Testament, he ruled a corrupt and a brutal puppet state that had been put in place in Israel by the Roman Empire. A puppet state where the poor were exploited and the general population was controlled by the invading army of the Roman legions. And so when Jesus starts talking about God's kingdom, he is talking about how what God wants is so different from what Herod wants, or by extension, what Rome wants, and that Herod's ways are different than God's ways. When Jesus talks about the kingdom, he's not only trying to describe the ways of God, but he's also critiquing the ways of Rome, raising up God's kingdom in comparison to the kingdom of Herod. And while all of that is true, we have to be careful to note that Jesus, in his criticism of Herod's kingdom, is not trying to set up his own state, his own system of government, some kind of utopia. If you remember, Jesus says clearly that his kingdom is not of this world. No, the primary interest isn't in reforming government. That's not enough. He wants to awaken people to a new way of being, to a new consciousness. His kingdom is not a place you go to, but a place you come from. You don't die into it, you awaken into it. It's a whole new way of looking at the world. A transformed awareness that, when fully realized, literally turns the world into a different place. It's like that tiny mustard seed that, once planted, grows into an immense bush, or that little tiny bit of yeast that leavens an immense amount of flour. It's a priceless treasure discovered, or a pearl of great value that you would give up anything you owned to possess. One of my favorite shows on television is the Antiques Roadshow. How many of y'all watch the Antiques Roadshow? Did you know it's the number one show on public television? I find that fascinating. I love that show, and I am fascinated by the items that people choose to bring into the show, and even more fascinated by what people discover about those items that they bring in. Millions of people tune in week after week to watch people just like you and me discover that the bowl Aunt Bessie gave us for our wedding, or the picture that we bought at a flea market, is actually worth four, maybe even five figures. What gives the show its drama, I think, aside from the fact that we hope something we see there will be something we own that's worth a lot of money, is the fact that the people featured, they don't know what they have. They don't know what they have. To them, it's just a piece of scenery in a painting, or something interesting collecting dust in the attic. Having seen it around the house for years, or having paid little, nothing for it, they don't realize its value. In the same way, God's kingdom is all around us, Jesus says, just waiting to be discovered, just waiting for us to realize its value. It's often hidden, and we fail to see it. So what's the kingdom? My favorite writer, Frederick Buechner, and if you've never read any Frederick Buechner, I highly recommend it to you. He died just a few years ago. Frederick Buechner puts it this way, and I quote, "If we only had eyes to see, and ears to hear, and wits to understand, we would know that the kingdom of God, in the sense of holiness and goodness and beauty, is as close as breathing and is crying out to be born within ourselves and within the world. We would know that the kingdom of God is what all of us hunger for, above all other things, even when we don't know its name or don't realize that it's what we're starving to death for. The kingdom of heaven is where our best dreams come from and our truest prayers. We glimpse it at those moments when we find ourselves being better than we are and wiser than we know. We catch sight of it when, at some moment of crisis, a strength comes to us that is greater than our own strength. The kingdom of God is where we belong. It is home. Whether we realize it or not, I think we are all homesick for it." End quote. Friends, we can catch a glimpse of this kingdom that Buechner is talking about if we look for it. I'll give you an example. I see the kingdom's presence in the midst of our crazy world every single Sunday at the cathedral when I watch this one elderly gentleman who quietly goes out of his way to make a little bit of the kingdom real in his own way. His name is John, and every Sunday for several years now, John has made it his ministry to care for two mentally handicapped people who count the cathedral as their only community. With immense love and patience and respect, John drives around Washington, picks each of them up every single Sunday, He isn't looking for any credit. He sits with them in church every Sunday and then takes them to lunch afterwards. And this isn't a ministry that John signed up for. He isn't looking for any credit. He just saw these two people in need, all alone, in the midst of this grand cathedral, and said, I'm going to do something to help their lives. In his own way, he's pushing back that darkness that sometimes feels all around us, and he's building the kingdom. I see the kingdom as well being made real when the cathedral congregations, a couple last year, found out that there was a family of Afghan refugees, five of them, and a family of Venezuelan immigrants, five of them, who had all arrived in Washington, D.C., and had literally nothing but what was on their backs. I didn't ask them to do this ministry. There was no official group they were part of. A bunch of them just got together and said, we're going to look after these folks. I marveled as I watched them, without any prompting or fanfare, found food for them, found housing for them, found education for them, found medical care for them, and even employment for a few of them. That's kingdom building. In closing, when thinking about our own contributions to God's kingdom, what we can do, I'm always taken by a quote coming from Bishop N.T. Wright, who's a wonderful author, who says, and I quote, what you do in the present by painting, preaching, singing, sewing, praying, teaching, building hospitals, digging wells, campaigning for justice, writing poems, caring for the needy, loving your neighbor as yourself. All of these will last into God's future. And all of it, whether you know it or not, no matter how small, builds God's kingdom. Amen.